This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, When Judges Rule.
I want this to be an informing and encouraging, a challenging message. It's going to speak to us historically, biblically, spiritually, current events, on a wide number of levels. And I've been praying about this sermon for quite a while, and what's come to me is something called When Judges Rule. When Judges Rule. And give you a little background on it. When Joshua died, this was after Moses, he was the one that came after Moses as the leader of Israel. When he died, well, the nation had no strong central government. Prior to Joshua, it was Moses. Held everybody together. He had a structure of organization to keep people together. And Joshua picked up on it, enhanced it, and made it stronger. But when he died, all that was left was a loose confederation of 12 independent people with ties, with no other ties holding them together except their belief in God. That was it. There was no strong leader in Israel. For 300 years, from Joshua's death to the death, to the days of the prophet Samuel, what ruled were judges, people called judges, and these judges were God-appointed. This was the leadership that they had in the military, in civil and legal matters. These are the ones that took all of that upon themselves. But the book of Judges gives us some insight into how they ruled, and the answer is terribly. So when you think about leadership and say, oh, well, look how bad things are today, you're right. But as it says in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. Amen? And Judges chapter 2, verses 11, 12, and 16 to 20. Children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam, which was an idol, which was a false god. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were around them, and bowed themselves to them, and provoked the Lord to anger. 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the band of those that spoiled them, the people that were doing wrong. 17. And yet they would not hearken to their judges, but they went whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up, judges, and when the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge, for it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they turned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers, following other gods to serve them, to bow unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because this people has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice. Well, what are some of the consequences that he spelled out? They were commanded by the Lord to do very, very few things. All he wanted them to do was follow the high moral and spiritual standards that he gave them through Moses. Moses and Joshua were the ones who told the people, shared the people, what God's commandments were. You know, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't commit adultery. I've given you these things as the guardrails to keep you from going over the edge. I've given you 10 things you can't do. All the rest. But I've given you 10 things that'll keep you out of danger. And they began to reject them. And so what was the result? Well, the nation was filled with confusion. There was a lack of organization and leadership, which always leads to anarchy. There were heinous crimes in the streets. Above all, there was idolatry. They were serving these other gods. After all God did for them, we often think in those terms, right? Oh, how could Israel have gone so far off after what they saw the Lord do? Save them from the Pharaoh. Got them through the Red Sea. Got them through wandering in the wilderness. Provided food. You would think that would be people who'd never walk away from him. Think about that. Isn't that the way humanity is? They married unbelievers. They got involved deeply in kind of like a natural sexual immorality. They had a complete rejection of God's word, and there wasn't that much of God's word available to them. They turned away from the true and living God, the last straw. The best way to summarize the tome of the times is found in the last verse of the book of Joshua. And this is what Joshua 21:25 says. Look at it. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Here it is, the operative phrase. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Everything they did, according to this to the scripture, was what they did on their own. The consequences of a departure from God and the foundation of his word was corruption, despair, and eventual captivity. That's what the rest of the book tells us about. But we're living in a period very similar to the period of the judges. So I want to give you five examples of what I'm talking about. Number one, think about our current culture. We are abandoning God's word. Let me startle you with some statistics. Current surveys indicate 85% of Americans believe in God. You believe that? Yet many Americans live their lives as if God doesn't exist. That's why when you hear 85% of Americans believe in God, you're kind of doubting. You shake your head. You look around you. More than 80% seldom or never attend church or read the Bible. 80%. Only 30% view the Bible as the ultimate authority in their lives. Most could care less. They just follow their conscience. They do whatever they think is best or whatever they please. The Bible has absolutely no influence on this number. 80% seldom or never attend church or read the Bible. Have no idea what the Bible's talking about. Pollster George Gallup found that America is, quote, not literate in the Bible. He put it another way, even more profound. This is a nation of biblical illiterates. Fewer than half of all adults can name the four Gospels. Fewer than half of Americans can name even five of the Ten Commandments. And we are living in a time when Dr. Seuss now can no longer be read. How far along do you think it is before they'll say the same thing in the Bible? Because if you think that Dr. Seuss is controversial, your Bible is filled with controversy. How long will I be told I can preach from this book? Well, I don't care what I'm told. What I will do is preach from this book until my lips are sealed in death. Number two, this is a period of confusion. What was once wrong is what? Now right. What was once sin is now accepted and celebrated. We don't even know that there's a difference between males and females. What kind of a thinking is that? Words have been changed under the dictates of what's politically correct or offensive to somebody. Somebody someplace, or somebody for some reason. Under the all-present eye and ear of the PC police. I'm going to preach a sermon that's going to be probably offensive to somebody who doesn't know who Jesus is and doesn't care about the Bible. All the while, a biased, secular, liberal media or fans the fires of division, anger, and hatred, leading to something we now call, hey, look how words have changed. What in the world does it mean to have a cancel culture? What does that mean? 6 months ago, I don't think anybody even talked about such a thing. I don't think anybody ever heard of such a thing last year. But a cancel culture means if you say something that doesn't agree with the current situation, that you will never be heard from again. You won't get on the internet because you'll be taken off the internet. You will be canceled. If a tree falls in the woods, But nobody is there to hear the sound. Did the tree actually fall in the woods? So just cut out anybody's ability to say things over the telephone, over the internet, in the public airwaves. Cancel them if they don't conform. Number three, this has become a period of time of idolatry. Who are and what are our new gods? Science. Follow the science. Although I don't hear some of these folks who say follow the science, really follow the science when it comes to biology. We have the god of materialism, the god of technology. According to all the great thinking atheists, technology is going to solve all our problems. It has become a replacement for God. Well, we've heard of that one before. Fame, power, government become some people's religion. Amazon, some people spend more time working on Amazon than they spend in their Bible. Self-improvement and fitness, education, all of these are the things that we look up to and say, this has become something I want to follow. Entertainment. That's why they call these people in the movies, the celebrities, they call them idols. Number four, it's a time when people are doing their own thing. If it feels good, do it. No shame, no remorse, because in our culture, you've got to take care and make happy number one. And who is number one? You find your own happiness. Honor, responsibility, accountability, and character are for losers. Winners are all there is. Christianity has become a consumer or cafeteria religion in which people pick and choose what biblical truth they will believe or they will reject. That's where we are. Number five. It's a time when our nation's founding documents, built on the foundation of scripture, are being trashed. Over 240 years ago, our nation's forefathers gathered together in Philadelphia to debate and write a unique document. A single page announced the formation of a new nation, founded, as its writer proclaimed, on the idea that, quote, liberty is a gift of God. The document they wrote was the Declaration of Independence, which states that, quote, we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. 11 years later, many of the same men gathered again in Philadelphia to lay the groundwork for how this nation would be governed. The result of their powerful efforts, prayerful efforts, I might add, was the United States Constitution. And it was a system of government like no other. Think of it. At the time, there were kings, monarchs, rulers, tyrants, but no place on the earth was a system of government by the people, of the people, and for the people. And those words were enshrined in our Constitution. And what also was enshrined in our Constitution was the ideas and the biblical principles found in your Bible. Let me share just a few of them with you. It was a principle of the Constitution that all men are created equal. We're all equal in the eyes of the law. Well, that comes from Acts 10:34. Listen to what the verse says. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, I perceive that God is no respecter of people. He has created us all. In his sight, we're all the same sinners who can be saved by his grace. There's no difference between any of us, social status, race, nationality, language. We're all the same in God's love, for God so loved what? The world, not just a particular group. Principle. Liberty comes from 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Freedom. Ensconced in your Constitution because it's ensconced in your Bible. The freedom to choose, the freedom to live. Life is sacred. All of these principles in the scripture. Make it onto the pages of the Constitution. What a privileged nation we have been. And we have taken it for granted. Principle, the separation of powers. Judiciary, we have courts, judges, the legislative, the people who write the laws, and the executive, president, who carries out those laws. And here's what it says in Isaiah 33, and see if you can see our form of government in it. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, and the Lord is our king. All three branches of government. So we wanted to emulate that. And that's why we built this country the way it is. The foundation of constitutional law, with its belief in the higher law and rights given by God, is now being eroded, attacked, and threatened by a rogue and corrupt Washington political system. It's taken a generation of activist judges to remove prayer from school, Bible reading from school, just about every place else, legalizing abortion, removing the Ten Commandments, silencing religious speech, redefining marriage, and trying to redefine gender. We've got a new equality law trying to make its way through Congress. Educator, author, and civil servant William Bennett wrote these words: "We have become the kind of society that civilized countries used to send missionaries to." Roll that around in your mind. Today, we find that the Supreme Court justices no longer find American law, American tradition, and the Constitution the guiding documents to carry America through this 21st century. We've come to a long prophesied place in prophecy in which nations are pressured from within and without to give up their sovereign rights. Now, we understand this because we understand the book of Revelation, and we're continuing to study through it. It's telling us that we're coming to a place where we're going to have a one world government system. Something that 50 years, when I was 25, 10 years ago, something that when I was young and we talked about, it seems so speculative and so far off into the distant future. So imagine that we could come to a place where the United States would no longer be a beacon of freedom and a beacon of life and take its place of prominence among the nations, and that the place of a one world system would be so close that you could see it in the institutions. You can see it in how things are being formulated. That we would give up our sovereign rights to a one world system. Never thought that could happen. Knew it was going to happen. But it was kind of still in the world of, well, let's wait and see. Well, we're here. It's already happening in industry and the marketplace. Are these the beginnings of a one world system, I ask you? Right now, we have a global market. Made in China, anybody? Trying to bring all the markets of the world under one system. It's happening in religion. The World Council of the Churches, Pastor Landis, my predecessor, walked out of our denomination because they joined the World Council of Churches. Ecumenicism. All the religions should be one. Now they're pulling the Muslims into this ecumenical idea and say, well, there's no difference between your Christian faith and the faith of Islam. No difference. I could lay out 25 differences. And I plan to do that in the weeks ahead. Not to criticize, not to condemn, just to show the difference between what we believe as Bible-believing Christians and what other faiths, religions, cults believe. You need to know. It's happening among the nations, the United Nations. The United Nations, all nations under one world system, no boundaries and, listen, no borders. No borders. And it's happening in currencies. A Visa card can buy goods and services anywhere in the world. You won't need cash. Sounds like something in Revelation. We won't be able to buy or sell. Cash will be worthless. Gold will be worthless. And now there's a dramatic shift to push our system of law to conform to international law. What does that mean? What does it mean to go to international law? Well, listen to the words of former Chief Justice Stephen Breyer, said this back in 2003. The world is growing together through commerce and globalization. It's becoming more and more one world of different kinds of people. Whether our Constitution and how it fits into the governing documents of other nations, I think will be a challenge for the next generation. Your Constitution is just not good enough. See, it's a living document and it needs to be changed to conform to what other countries are doing and what their laws are. The idea of being guided not only by United States law, but by international law, is supported by a number of sitting justices on the Supreme Court. The late Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, quote, "Our island or Lone Ranger mentality is beginning to change. We are becoming more open to comparative and international law perspectives." What does it mean to you and to me? It means danger. As the one world system begins to take shape for all to see, it's already having an impact on America today. Quote, on November 18, 2003, the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court found a, quote, right to same-sex marriage. This right was not found in the state constitution, but was based on the opinion of a provincial Canadian court. The consequences of running astray. The ramifications of international law upon religious liberty of ordinary American citizens are as profound as they are despairing. The embrace of international law is a violation of the principles on which our nation was founded. Consider, for example, that if a state court looks to a Canadian province to redefine marriage, it could then turn to the same province to criminalize moral disapproval of homosexual behavior. In Australia, an evangelical Christian was brought up on charges under a Religious Tolerance Act for truthfully presenting the gospel. In France, public schools have been permitted by law to ban certain forms of religious apparel. Amish, think of the Amish. Based on this discouraging precedent, the ACLU and its allies could prod American courts to limit and silence our own religious freedom. Chris told me a story about some pastor up in Canada who's in jail because he wouldn't conform to the closure rules, having so many people at church. He wouldn't conform to that. Whoever wanted to come could come. He's wound up in jail and he hasn't been let out yet. In the last days, we will be living in perilous times. This is verse in Isaiah 21:6. It says this, "For thus hath the Lord said, unto me go set a watchman, let him declare what he sees." Somebody has to speak out. Somebody has to call a warning to what's going on. As your pastor, part of my responsibility is to be that watchman, to look down the road and see trouble coming and to warn you about it, to let you know that things are going to become more and more difficult. We have to be prepared in our own hearts and in our own minds to do what the Lord would have us to do, not because it came into the pastor's head, but because this is what the word said. We remember that the early apostles were told to stop preaching. Stop preaching. Well, they continued to preach. And they told the authorities, we would rather follow God than follow men. We will follow God rather than follow men. And we have to do that. We can't be in their face. We don't want to push people. We don't want to create a crisis. We want to do what's right. We don't want to do anything that's aggressive. We don't want to tell people to fight. We don't want to do any of those things. We just want to come to church, mind our own business, share the gospel with people, not be told we can't. And when we're told we can't, we just follow the example of the apostles and keep talking. Amen? So we have to pray for each other. We have to hold up each other. There are some people in Congress that are doing their best within the amount of power they have or influence they have to try to keep these things from happening. We have to pray for those men if we can and women. If we can identify those men and women, pray for them. If you hear about them in the news, pray for them. Don't let them be alone out there. I'm not alone. You're with me. I'm not going to take you any place that the Lord wouldn't lead us, and I'm just going to ask you to follow me as I follow Jesus. So when judges rule, when governments rule, when politicians rule, bad things can happen. Originally, God says that the government is good for us because it is meant to protect us. Godly, political people are meant and in power to protect the little guy. And we just got to pray that our politicians and the people in power think about the little guy and seek God's face, because when we pray and we start to seek the Lord, things begin to happen. Amen? So we'll pray, right? Father God, we pray this morning. Give us the courage of our conviction. We don't just think these things because they're nice thoughts. We don't just think these things because somebody told us we had to. We have a conviction, Lord. The conviction is powerful. It's not a preference. We don't prefer to believe this. We are convinced that what we believe is true. And because we believe in the truth, and because we believe in you, and because we want to follow in your footsteps, we want to do what's right. We don't want to be mean-spirited about it. We don't want to cause riots. We don't want to make people angry. We want to diffuse all of that stuff. And so we're going to be on the knees of our heart, and day to day we're going to pray. We're going to pray to turn this country around. We're going to pray for forgiveness in our own life. We're going to pray, Lord, that our politicians would somehow come to know you in a better way. Somehow come to know you, period. We would pray for those men and women who are in government now, who do have a heart for Christ, who are trying to live out their faith, who are fighting the system in their own way there in their legislative seats. Lord, give them greater power than they already have. We pray that our country can be turned around. And Lord, all of this is in your hand. You're in control. You're on the throne. And we just humble ourselves before you, Lord. We pray for revival. Now help me, Lord, when I go preach next week. I pray, Father, that people who don't know Jesus as Savior would get saved. Pray for those who have walked away will come back. I pray for those who have gotten indifferent will be on fire. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to gather like this, preach, to sing, to teach, and to follow you in prayer and in the word. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn. Faith of our fathers. We'll stand together.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Bible study Wednesday evening as we continue in Revelation. Have a blessed week. Bye-bye.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.